This is the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray, episode 429.
You're listening to the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray. Tune in every week for practical advice that will help you build your online audience. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about how to plan and run a sellout virtual event. And I'm going to be sharing my experiences of running a sellout virtual event because I'm recording this episode the morning after my 2021 Sorted event. So this is my annual content planning masterclass. We held it online this year and we sold more than 500 tickets. So I'd say that qualifies as a sellout for a virtual event. It, hands down, is probably the best event that I've ever run in terms of engagement, in terms of learning, in terms of like people meeting each other and making connections, which is kind of ironic because I think a lot of people feel that virtual events can't be as good as in-person ones. And in the run-up to the event, I was getting so many questions about like, you know, how do you put a virtual event together? What are the costs involved? What's the tech that you use? Like, what kind of planning is involved? So I thought I would put together a quick episode just kind of running through the main things that you need to consider if you want to plan and run a sellout virtual event. Now, I say it's going to be quick because I'm recording this the morning after the event and my podcast editor is going to kill me if I don't get this audio to him very, very soon. So I'm going to get straight stuck into the content and I'm going to keep it nice and short. And then I will record a follow-up episode at a later date with my online event producer, Ian Anderson Gray. We'll go into a little bit more depth, but hopefully this will just give you the main headlines so that if you're thinking about running a virtual event, you can get started with your planning. So first off, a little bit about the event. So 2021 Sorted, it was and is my annual content planning event. So I run a content planning event every November. And I have been doing so since, I think it's 5 years now. It's evolved a little bit. So it started off as a one-day event and it turned into a two-day event. Typically, the first day is always about inspiration. So I would book inspiring speakers, so you know, really talented content creators from the UK and also around the world to come and talk about different aspects of content creation and planning. So day one typically would center on inspiration and day two we'd get stuck in. And a big selling point for the event is that we actually create your content plan. I walk people through it and they do it with me in the class, and that's your annual content plan. All hinges around a product that I sell. So I have the social media diary and planner. So the idea is that the planner comes as part of the ticket and you actually use your diary to create your content plan and live in the class. The diary is, I often say it's not just a diary, it's a content planning tool. So it's full of awareness days and key dates that you can use to plan out your content for the year. It's got templates for annual, quarterly, weekly, daily planning, and it's just beautiful looking as well. Beautiful covers, four choices of covers, really gorgeous. So the diary comes as part of the ticket price. So we were all set to run the event in Newcastle, so it's going to be happening live. We'd actually sold 150 tickets. We'd pre-sold 150 tickets, both at the end of the event last year. So we sold to the people that were in the room last year, and we had sold up to the time that we started like remarketing again, which is actually only about a month ago, really sort of started to kind of hit the marketing hard. We'd sold 150 at a cost of ranging from £129 for the very, very early bird bookers to £149. So obviously it became very apparent in the summer that there was no way that I was going to be able to hold an in-person event in a big conference room in a hotel. And you know, it just wasn't going to happen. And because the government restrictions on the numbers of people who could meet together just was not going to allow that. So we took the decision to take the event online and took that decision actually back in August. And I emailed all of the delegates and told them that and updated them and told them that the event was not being cancelled, but it was being moved online. Now, before we did that, I had to think about how people might feel. And I realized that most people would be, you know, they would realize that we didn't have a choice. And I realized that most people would probably be on board with it. And there might be a few people who would say that, you know, oh, virtual events is not the same. I want my money back, blah, blah, blah. But I realized that most people would be on board with it. And that because the event has a really specific focus, and this is an important thing I think about, if you do want to have a sellout virtual event, it needs to have a very specific purpose and very specific focus, which is one of the reasons I think why this event sold well. But I did realize that some people might be feeling, you know, disappointed because you know, I don't know about you, but you know, I don't mind working on my own at home. I quite enjoy it, but I also enjoy a couple of days away speaking at events or going to events. I think it can kind of just really fill you up, particularly if you work on your own. And obviously we haven't had any of that this year. So I thought about how I could, you know, make it really, really attractive to people. So when we email people, we said, you know, yes, we're moving online, but you're also going to get all of this stuff. So as part of the ticket, they were going to get all of the recordings of the event. Normally we sell them separately for £199. They were also going to get free membership of my Media Diary Owners Club. It used to be called this year. It's the 2021 Sorted Club. So this is a membership that goes alongside the diary. Obviously they'd be getting their free diary anyway. And with that, they would get 4 quarterly coaching calls, follow-up calls. They would also get a free content planning masterclass in November. So that's on how to batch your content. So it's really useful. They would also get my weekly content inspo newsletter. So I send an email to my list every single Monday with social media post ideas using awareness days and key dates from the diary. And this year they're going to be more like grab and go posts. Like, so I'm basically going to send out pretty much posts that you can adapt for your own audience, but pretty much written up, ready to go. You can just tweak it and adapt it for your audience. So I think that's really quite an attractive package, especially if you've only paid £129. It's a really attractive package. Facebook group that's going to be open all year. So unsurprisingly, I think most people were really pleased with that. But, you know, it was a bit of a dilemma. So do I call off the event completely? Actually, from a financial point of view, I potentially could have lost about £15,000 by doing that. If I compare that to the amount of time, you know, literally I have worked 14, 16 hours a day for the last week or so. Yesterday morning, I went to bed at 3:45 a.m. in the morning. So from a financial point of view, I think it would have been much easier for me to cancel the event, seriously, much easier. But I felt like I owed it to the community to bring the event online and to do it really, really well and give people a really great experience. And I really believed it was possible. And I kind of thought we've all had a rubbish year and we've had no opportunities to get together, to come together, to learn together, to meet new people. It's been awful. And you know, as it happens, as I'm recording this, we're going into lockdown 2 in the UK. And I thought people need this. They need it. But of course, if it's going to happen, it can't be a load of dreary Zoom calls. So the first thing I did, so we decided what the package was going to be. And the first thing I did was I hired Ian Anderson Gray. It's a friend of mine who's an expert in live video and live video streaming. And I asked him if I could hire him to be my virtual event producer. And he was open to that. So we had a little bit of, you know, negotiation back and forth, a few phone calls talking about like how it would work, how much time it would take, what tech we would need. And we decided that we were going to stream the keynote sessions into a Facebook group. And if you've ever seen any of Ian's content before, if you were at the event, it's like proper pro quality. It's like TV radio show quality. You know, there's all countdown timers and, you know, you can put kind of like pro artwork. It is. It's like watching a TV show or radio show. You can make it interactive. You can ask questions. You know, it's a really high quality pro production. So that was really important to me that people had that. The other thing that I did was I immediately booked a load more speakers. So the biggest challenge for me was giving people the opportunity to network with people because, you know, if you're at an online event, somebody just says, oh, hey, just get in the Zoom room with people. Like, it's just awkward and it's embarrassing. So I thought, well, how can I facilitate the opportunity for people to network and to meet other people, but not in a way that's like really cheesy and awkward? And I think it was actually someone in my team that came up with the idea. Like, we were sort of knocking things around. And I said, you know, we could have these other sessions running alongside that were more like discussion sessions, but I called them guided discussions, which I think Sam and my team said, that sounds really boring, which it does. It did. And I came up with this idea. Well, I think between us, we came up with this idea that we could have these things called level up sessions. So this would be where we would bring in a panel of speakers on topics that are really, really important to business owners, but don't always get the airtime that they deserve. And they're the kind of thing that you do end up talking to people. You know, if you're sat in a hotel lobby or you're sat in the bar or you're out at dinner with people at an event, they're the kind of things that you actually do get chatting about. So we came up with the idea of having all of the keynote sessions being streamed into a dedicated Facebook group, that kind of high, you know, pro quality that we talked about, like TV radio quality. And then alongside it, we decided that on day one, we would have these level up sessions, which were basically each one would have a panel of 4 speakers. And each in turn, they would talk about a specific topic from a slightly different angle. And then at the end of the panel talks, we would split people up into Zoom rooms. So they would have a focus for the conversation. So I came up with a question for each session. So when they landed in their Zoom rooms, if you don't know about Zoom rooms, basically Zoom can a video conferencing tool, and you can split people up into rooms of, you know, anything from two up to, I think they can be 20, 30 or whatever, possibly even bigger. But I think we split people into groups of about, I think it's about five or six. So they would hear the talk from the speakers, then they would go into their rooms and they'd have a question to discuss. Now, I imagine that some people talked about the question, some people didn't talk about it at all. The point of it really was to give people a focus. So they get in their group. It wasn't really awkward. They just heard some interesting stuff that they had opinions about. And it kind of, you know, gave people something to talk about. And I imagine some people ended up talking about all sorts of stuff, but that was absolutely fine. What we really wanted to emulate is like the coffee queue type thing. You know, when you're at an event and you've just heard something, say, oh, that was interesting. Like, it really made me think about this or whatever. So that's really what we tried to emulate. So we had eight sessions. So we had six on the first day. So we had one on how to be more inclusive in your marketing, which has obviously been a big topic this year. So we had speakers on various topics, everything from dyslexia to being more inclusive from a race point of view. We had a lady who's, I think she's 70 and she's an Instagram star at 70. So we had, you know, different aspects. We had Nikki who talked about having a physical disability. And I gather that was fascinating. We had a session on mental health, dealing with your mental health as an entrepreneur. We had a session on running your business around your kids. We had, and I think this was one of the most popular ones actually, how to deal with copycats, trolls, and the dark sides of online business. That was very popular, that one. We had one on how to be more productive, one on women in podcasting. We had one on women in tech. We also had one on boundaries, where we had people talking about, you know, making sure that you have the right legal processes in place, making sure you have agreements with people so that you get paid and all that kind of stuff. They were really, really popular. But in order to make them work, I will talk about that in just a second, but we had to have a minute by minute schedule. I'm not joking. I'm probably going to put some screenshots of this schedule out on Instagram later, but it was literally minute by minute to make sure that nobody ran over, that everything was handed over, you know, the Zoom rooms, like, you know, nothing. They had to finish on time so that we could, in the nicest possible way, get people out and get the next group of speakers in. So you can imagine we had 30 speakers moving through, I think it was, on the first day. Is that right? No, 20. That'll be 20. Oh, I can't add up. In the 20s. And then we had the second morning, we had two sessions that went on before the main day started. We also had on the first day, I kind of thought that 2 days, and this is something to consider if you are thinking about doing a virtual event, I kind of thought that 2 days would be too intense to have like everyone in the room learning together. So what we decided to do is have the first day as a kind of almost like I kind of said to people, like, pick two or three sessions that you want to go to. You're going to get all the recordings. So like, don't wear yourself out. And then the second day, then that's the day that you need to like block it out, you know, and really focus. And we did both days 10 till 4. And I think people really took on that message. Actually, they chose two or three sessions to go to and decided that they would catch up on the recordings. So the other sessions were expert masterclasses. And so they were kind of quite workshopy in style, you know, very practical. So we had one on building your audience on YouTube and growing your YouTube following and your channel in 2021. We had one on self-publishing your own book. We had one on launching an online course, which I did, one on launching a membership. We also had one on live video and one on launching a podcast. So I deliberately did it like that because I thought, well, not everybody is going to be interested in every single one of those. Some people will already have a podcast, but you know, they might still be interested in watching it later for some tips on, you know, growing their podcast. You know, some people already have a YouTube channel. Some people are just not interested. So I sort of thought on average, most people, there'll be a few things that they're interested in, a few of the level up sessions. And that means they can kind of, you know, to keep their energy free for the second day. So that did actually kind of work out really well. But that meant from an organizational point of view, we had three tracks. So we had track one, which was the main keynote track, which was streamed into a Facebook group. Pro quality, really great. Then we had these Zoom rooms going. That was a track two. We also had a third track. So we gave people who came along the opportunity to do one of my Get It Done sessions. So if you haven't heard me talk about these before, these are focused co-working sessions. Members of my Build Your Online Audience get access to them. We run them three or four times a day. Zoom calls, you get on the call. You have to put in the chat what you're going to do at the beginning of the call. We're going to get done in that session. At the end, you have to unmute and tell everybody. So there's great accountability. So that's about the event. And now I'm just going to go through the things like costs and tech. I mean, I've covered quite a lot of it there. So costs, I would say, I still need to, obviously this is the morning after the event, I still need to go through and actually look at it. And I'm sure there'll be some costs that I maybe haven't included in these figures. But I'd say it probably cost about 15,000. And so those costs obviously, because some of this is about paying individuals, and you know, I don't feel like I can share with you what individuals are paid, but that pot includes, so Ian was the virtual event producer. That for me was like the most important cost, and you get what you pay for. And so I'm really invested in that because I wanted the event to run smoothly by somebody who was going to take care of the tech and take care of me and, you know, help make sure that I didn't get stressed, and because they knew what they were doing. So that was a really important cost. I also hired Ant McGinley to be the host of the second track that was going on, because I thought, you know, I had Sam in my team who was kind of, from a sort of technical point of view, was making sure that everybody was like, you know, coming in and out at the right times, and people were, you know, they were kept in the waiting room before the session started, and then they were let in, and she was in charge of making sure that, you know, people weren't muted and that. But Ant is his background is radio, so he basically ran it like a radio show. He introduced all of the speakers. He made sure that nobody went over time. He handed all the handovers. So that worked really well, and that was a well worth the investment. We also had to insure the event. So I had to buy insurance for the technical side of it. I mean, I didn't have to, but I looked at the risks and decided to take out an insurance policy, which cost me in the region of about £1,000. If I wanted to insure, one of my biggest worries was me not being well or something. That would have cost me about £1,500 to insure for me not being there. And in the end, I decided not to take it out because, and this is part of the planning, all speakers were required, not the level up speakers, but all of the keynote speakers as part of their contract, because they were paid, they were required to send a recording of their session so that in the event that their tech failed or our tech failed or something went wrong, we could play the recording. Or in the event that they didn't turn up or whatever it might be, we still had the recording. And actually, oh my gosh, that was so important. Tech-wise, everything went really smoothly, really, really smoothly. There was the odd cock-up, and that was generally me, like, not being unmuted or whatever. But there was really, I mean, it was pretty smooth the whole way through. There was nothing, I think, anybody could have said, you know, that was a tech disaster. And I've heard about some other virtual events where it's not been the case. So it was really smooth. But Steve Dotto, one of our speakers, he's in Canada. And for whatever reason, when he first joined, it was just a really bad signal. So we took the decision, and we took it really quick just to switch to his recording. His recording was excellent, so that was no problem at all. And then by the time we got to questions, his internet was fine, and we brought him in live, and it was no problem at all. And literally, it was like 2 minutes or something. But we had to have, and also as part of my insurance policy, I had to have contingency plans. So we had a whole plan that if something went wrong with Facebook or something went wrong with Ecamm Live, then we were going to move to YouTube. We also had a backup plan for the level up sessions, which are happening in the Zoom and the Zoom rooms. That was actually more difficult to solve because there isn't really anything with exactly the same functionality as Zoom, or certainly we didn't find anything. So our backup was actually a Facebook group, and we were using, we had a link set up for using a tool called StreamYard. And so Ant was going to take everybody. We had the Facebook group set up and was going to take everybody into the Facebook group. And I had the emails written. So I had the email copy written so that if we had to move people, Julie in my team would just literally be able to pick up the email copy. And she had it actually loaded up in Infusionsoft, which is our email provider. And it was all ready to go. So if we had to move, she would just need to hit send, and people would move to the new venue. So it was contingency plan after contingency plan. So with the YouTube backup, we actually had two set up. So we had links set up for Ian's YouTube. We had links set up for my YouTube. And we had a third option as well. So, and in order to get the insurance, we had to show all of those, that contingency planning. The other thing about that as well is that it was actually quite hard for me to get virtual event insurance because nobody's doing it, because it's so early on. And so I found this insurance company that were doing it, and they actually said to me, I was one of the first companies that they dealt with that was doing, you know, a big sort of conference style event, learning event, because it's just so new that in my insurance company that I usually use, they said, I'm really sorry, we don't have a product for this. So that's quite revealing, I think. I also, and this was a great decision that I made, we needed entertainment. So Amy Cager, so obviously we created those opportunities for people to get together in the level up sessions, and people love that. And they said that they, when they went to the level up sessions, they heard from the speakers, then they were split into the Zoom rooms, and actually we swapped them over. So they got to, in each session, they got to meet two groups of people. Vicky Jakes, one of my favorite quotes from the event was, I feel like I've met so many new people and I haven't been anywhere. So that can probably tell you, you know, actually that it was good on the networking front. So that was good. What we also did was we had in the evening, the first day, we had a virtual bar. So Amy Kasia, who's a niching expert, she ran the bar, which was great that she did that. And I also hired a magician. So it's actually my cousin. So I hired a magician to come in and do three virtual magic shows. And that was lovely, actually. It was an additional expense, but I'm so glad that I did it because people brought their kids. You know, it was completely unplanned. So we had three shows, 7:30, 8:30 and 9:30. People just dropped into the room. They were chatting. We had Zoom rooms. We had a karaoke room. People were just, you know, had drinks and we had a bit of a joke about it. We had a competition actually where people, the theme was pajamas and people had to send a photo of themselves wearing their pajamas. And that was actually won by Finola. So Finola Crow, if you're listening, I think she knows that she's won, but she won that competition. So we had that going on as well. And that was quite fun. And the magician actually was so glad that I did it. It was definitely worth the investment because it was just lovely. People like came and then they brought back their kids. And we had like Christine Gritman, who's based over in the US. Like her kids were all dressed up for Halloween and they popped in as well. So it was really lovely, actually. It was quite informal. People enjoyed the show. And I'm so glad that I did that because, you know, the whole idea of a sort of Zoom room, you know, a lot of us are quite zoomed out. But the magic show, I'm so glad that I did that. Other costs. I had some additional team costs. We have a bot. So we use a messenger bot anyway, but Sarah, who builds it, she built a special one for the event, which was obviously more time. We had presents for all the speakers. So we paid all of the keynote speakers. I think that's important because that gives people the commitment to, you know, make sure that they do. I mean, they're all pros and they would do a good job anybody. And, you know, but to make sure that they did get in their recording and that they did, you know, fulfill all the things that they were meant to do. And for all of the speakers, including the level up speakers, we sent little mugs with like sweeties in them and stuff, and t-shirts we sent out to some people as well. So there was all of that. And I'm sure there's things that I haven't, you know, I do need to go through, and there will be other expenses that I probably haven't thought about already. But I would say in the region of about 15,000 just for expenses. I also invested in some new kit. So Ian advised me to get a new camera. So I got the Canon EOS, I think it is. I also bought a second screen so that it would be easier on the day for me to kind of track what was going on, some new tripods and bits and pieces, and actually that all came in at about £1,000. I have a professional podcasting mic, but if I hadn't, I probably would have needed to get one of those. And I've got a ring light, so I was sorted on the lighting side. But I'm really glad that I did that, although it was at an expense. The quality was so much better. So, you know, that was great. I spent about £10,000 on Facebook ads, so that was worth it. Really helped to increase the buzz about the event. Had a few challenges around that, which is probably for another episode. But the thing about doing a virtual event is obviously once your costs are covered, everything else is profit. So while it might sound scary spending £10,000 on Facebook ads, actually, if everything is profit after a certain point, it's quite a low risk thing to do. And I have a Facebook ads agency that I use. Obviously, they, you know, I had to pay them for their time as well. So once I've got to the finals, I'd say probably it's maybe going to be more in the region of 20,000. But I think the thing that you have to think about is that events are not just what happens at the event. The impact can be seen for, like, you know, months, years on end, because obviously it raises your profile. I've had a number of people approach me, companies approach me about sponsorship for next year because they've seen what I'm doing with the event. Raises your profile, opens up other opportunities for you. And if somebody comes in at what's a relatively low investment, I know it might not feel like that to you, you know, because I'm not saying that £179 isn't a lot of money, but in terms of the lifetime value of a customer, it's kind of relatively low in my business. But somebody coming in and having a really great experience, that person might, you know, may well go on to be a customer for many years. If you can give them a really great experience, they become part of your community, part of your tribe. I mean, you know, that is really worth it. So if you get to the point where everything is profit, then actually 10,000 ads on, you know, it's not as scary as it sounds. And I really felt it was important to have people who knew what they were doing on it and had worked on events before. And so that was great. So tech, we used a tool called Ecamm Live, and I already had it, but I think you can get that for about $15 a month. Had we had to move over to YouTube, we also would have needed a tool called Restream, which actually that was Ian would have looked after that. So that was about, I think that's about $49 a month. We already have a subscription to Zoom. We have the kind of top subscription, which I think is about $100 a month or something. So that's already using that. So that was what we used tech-wise. I've talked about the new kit that I bought. Planning, I've already mentioned this. So literally for each track, I had minute by minute planning. And so I had a spreadsheet, which I'll probably share this actually in my stories later, which had the time, and it was literally like, you know, 10:01 this happens, 10:03 this happens, 10:05, and it, like granular, like down to Sam open Zoom room, 10:01 Sam check speakers are in green room, 10:03 Lisa call for anybody who hasn't, you know, we had a green room, so we had a Facebook group for the speakers, but we also set up Facebook Messenger chats with them all in, so that Lisa, her job, so, you know, in that room where we had those level up sessions going on, you know, Sam was the track leader and was the track host, so he was just doing all the talking, and then Lisa, her job actually in both tracks was just to kind of make sure all the speakers, like she normally does that at in-person events, to make sure all the speakers were in the right place. She had all their phone numbers, and I was actually, while I was presenting, I could see things going on, like I could see like, where's so-and-so, they haven't turned up and whatever, and everybody was in the right place at the right time, but there were a few little moments where people, you know, they were told they had to be in like 15 minutes early or whatever, and they hadn't turned up. And I could kind of see this going on in my messenger, which was, it was hard, like at times, to try and ignore that and just get on with what I was doing. And I should have said actually earlier about the Ecamm Live. So what that allows you to do, Ecamm Live, is it allows you to bring people on, obviously, and they can share slides. You can bring guests on. So if you were at the event and you saw me like interviewing some of the speakers and asking them questions, it allows that. And it also allows, you know, you can put people's comments up on the screen. It was quite cool. We had like questions. So like when people were gathering, we had countdown timers. So 5 minutes before the stream was about to start, we were asking like questions like, you know, Marmite, love or hate it, peanut butter, love or hate it. I made up all these questions. We had, you know, what's your favorite city? What's your favorite book? And that was really great to have that kind of running across the screen. Actually, towards the end of day two, when we put the tickets for 2022 sorted on sale, because that's the best time to sell your tickets for the next event, we had like the names of the people who bought tickets like running across the screen, like, and Charlotte Foster, she was the first to buy her ticket for 2022. And so she won a prize, and we were able to put that up on the screen, like as it was happening. You know, we were able to promote other sessions that were coming up and other tracks, you know, so Ecamm Live's brilliant, really great tool. So we have minute by minute scheduling. I've talked about contingency planning, the green room, track managers. I am not the most organized person in the world. I find it really, really difficult. But for me, it's more about time management and not understanding how long things take me. But I've run a lot of events. And so although at times it was a little bit hairy at times, I was working with quite a new team. I've got quite a lot of new people with me this year. And I can imagine for them, it was probably quite a bumpy one because my mind just works so quickly. And I'm like, I've got an idea, let's do this. But, you know, I did create these really detailed schedules and they were all amazing. And I couldn't say that there weren't times when things were a little bit tense. And one thing I didn't actually mention in the tech was artwork as well. So obviously we created a guide for the delegates. We created a guide for the speakers. We created branded artwork. That's, you know, one of the aspects of marketing, if you want people to market your event, if you can create like branded artwork, that's going to make it easier. So there were so many moving parts to it, which could be a whole other episode about the sort of planning side. So marketing wise, mainly the tickets were sold through email marketing. So I'd say that like 80% of them were sold through email marketing. So if ever there is a reason, or ever there is a compelling reason for, or if you needed another compelling reason for building your list, there it is. Email marketing was how we sold most of the tickets. But 20% were sold through ads, and they're new people. So generally, if you're bringing new people or people who previously wouldn't have bought if they hadn't seen that ad, like I was saying before, you know, you have to think about the lifetime value of that customer. If somebody comes on board for the first time, yes, you know, you might have paid through your Facebook ads to get them in there, but they may well, if they have a great event experience, end up being with you for a long time. So it's kind of worth it. We also had an affiliate scheme. So we got that set up as well. So we had speakers and delegates selling tickets. We had a bit of a competition going as well. So that helped. But, you know, I need to take a step back afterwards and just have a look at all of this stuff. Like I said, it was quite, we use Asana in my team, but we're only really just kind of getting stuck into it. So that was really helpful for planning out like step-by-step tasks and assigning tasks to people in the team. So we had an Asana. If you haven't heard of Asana, it's an online planning tool, but we had a project set up for 2021 Sourcing, and that meant that I was able to allocate tasks to other people in the team, and we had processes. Our processes weren't as good as they could have been because we started using Asana halfway through, but it certainly helped, and being able to kind of look at where people were, things, and, you know, where were things, and assign things to different people in the team. And I think we'll do a lot better job next time. And lastly, the engagement, well, it was amazing. I mean, we had in the main Facebook room where the main streams were going on, at one point, I think I looked and we had well over 320 people there live, and we had 510 tickets, I think, when I checked last week, we'd sold. The other thing I haven't mentioned so far, it's one more thing, is and this is an added cost I added in, but I bought a license for a private podcast stream from a company called Hello Audio. So what we're also going to do is we're going to turn all of the replays into private podcast stream, because I'm very conscious of the fact when I've bought replays of events, I've had all the good intentions of watching them, but you know, just sitting down at my desk and watching them, it just doesn't happen. Whereas, you know, I love listening to podcasts. I listen to them when I'm running, when I'm walking, when I'm in the bath or whatever. And I know that would suit me a lot better. And I knew that a lot of delegates actually would find that useful. The other thing as well we're going to do is I've just invested in a tool called Searchy, which generates automatic transcripts. And we will be providing transcripts to go along with them so that, you know, if you enjoyed a particular session, you can just, but there was a particular bit you wanted to find, you know, you remember a speaker talking about a particular tool, or you remember hearing them talk about, you know, a particular technique or whatever, you can just search and you don't have to kind of listen to the whole thing to find it. So that's really nice as well. So that's pretty much it. I'm very conscious of time and that my podcast editor will kill me if I don't get this over to them, and it's not short at all. So I'm going to leave it there, and I will get together with Ian and we will record another episode more on the kind of going deeper into the tech side. But I hope that's given you an overview. And it's also a reminder about audience. So I don't think I could have sold all of those tickets. 80% were sold via my email list. I think that says everything. If you're thinking, you know, and I imagine when we really look at the Facebook ads, I imagine that a lot of those sales will have come through retargeting. So they will already be people who are, you know, when we look, I imagine that there won't be that many completely cold people, but it helps a lot. And it really helps to amplify all the buzz about the event and help, I think, take a lot of people over the line from being interested to actually kind of doing something about it. That's a whole other episode actually about the ads that could be really interesting, I think. But I hope it's been useful, giving you a bit of insight. And if you're listening and thinking, oh, I missed out on this event, actually, you can still grab a virtual ticket. If you head over to janetmurray.co.uk/2021sorted, you can still join the Facebook group. We are going to, you heard it here first, but in the past, these quarterly coaching calls, I've hosted them on Zoom, and I feel like not enough people come to them. Like, so, you know, this year I'm going to have, it'll be more by the end of the year because people can still join the 2021 Sorted Club, but I'm going to have hundreds of people who could potentially come to the quarterly planning calls and sit and do their plan for the next quarter with me. But because it's on Zoom, I think sometimes, you know, people, oh yeah, I'll come to that, and then they forget. But the plan is actually to stream them into the group, the coaching calls, and make more of an event of them. So I'd really love to professionally live stream them like we did the event and actually make them into kind of, you know, real kind of proper planning sessions that people really get involved with. And if they are starting to fall off track a little bit with their planning, brings them back on track. And we've also got this on November the 26th. I'm doing a content planning masterclass, which is about content batching, which I think is something people find really, really hard. And I think if you're listening to this, that's definitely worth getting on board, you know, just for that. Weekly email from me with content ideas. Get your diary as part of your ticket. You get a digital version of the diary. You get all of the digital dates to download in your diary. You're going to get the private podcast stream. So if you're listening to this and think, oh no, I missed out on this, you can still grab a virtual ticket and you can still get all of the recordings, all of the podcast versions, all of those transcriptions. You can still be part of the coaching calls for 2021. You can still come to the content planning masterclass if you're on time. If not, you'll get the recording. I think there's a hell of a lot of value still to be had if you're listening and you didn't get in this year. So I hope that's useful, and I've got to go now because otherwise Igor will kill me. And the link is janetmurray.co.uk/2021sorted. So it's janetmurray.co.uk/2021sorted.
If you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray, do check out her Build Your Online Audience program over at buildyouronlineaudience.com. The Build Your Online Audience program is the essential resource for anyone looking to build an engaged online following. If you want to attract more leads online so you can stop wondering where your next sale is coming from, or if you want to launch a dream project like an online course, book, or podcast, the Build Your Online Audience program has everything you need to grow an engaged online following. Head over to buildyouronlineaudience.com to find out more.